SBS کوردی روجنینی ششه وار روجن یک شمه دو دنیورو یان گهلدانا بریا اینترنت دما دخوازی.
Around 4 in 1 Australian children are affected by bullying in schools. And with today's technology, bullying has become more harmful and the consequences in some cases are very tragic. We have Yasmin London with us today, who is the Executive Director of YSafe, social media cyber safety and law enforcement expert. YSafe is a cyber safety education organisation. Welcome to SBS Radio, Yasmin.
Thank you so much for having me.
First of all, how important is it for parents to be aware of online bullying and cyber crimes in general?
Oh, look, it's an incredibly important topic these days. You know, as parents, we want to make sure that our kids are safe, and we do our best to do that, you know, in real life situations. But more and more kids are spending time online, and we need to have an understanding of what their lives are like there. We know that, you know, online actions can have offline consequences, and it's really important that as a parent we understand what those can be.
So for parents to have regular conversation with their children is important, but can be difficult as well. How would you advise parents to approach kids about cyber safety or online bullying?
Yeah, look, it is a really difficult subject. I think, you know, it's just starting somewhere. You won't know exactly what the right thing to say is all the time, but, you know, if they're particularly interested in a game, in social media, ask them what it is that they like about that game, and maybe what they're sort of seeing when they're online, you know, when they're playing a game, for example, you know, how people speak to each other. We know with gaming in particular, you know, that idea of banter, the way that people sort of make fun of each other or talk to each other, can sometimes be, you know, perceived by another person as cyberbullying. So it's getting kids to understand, you know, the impact of their words online and, you know, how that does have offline consequences for some people.
Sure. And the age of children that are online are getting younger and younger. So when is it an appropriate age to make children aware of dangers of being online?
Look, I don't think a child can ever be too young. We teach sessions even at YSafe to children in kindergarten, you know, just talking about what strangers are and, you know, when we talk to someone, the rules around not revealing personal information, things like your name and your age and your home address. When we've got kids as young as, you know, 3, 4, 5 that are using iPads on their own, we need to start educating them about being safe. So there isn't, you know, there isn't an age as far as we're concerned or I'm concerned that is too young to start having those conversations.
Sure. And it's also probably difficult for parents to detect what is exactly happening with their children or what they did dealing with, particularly with teenagers, for example. What are some of the warning signs or behavioural changes to look out for?
Yeah, look, there's a lot of different things. You might see any kind of unusual change in your child. So if you have usually a well-adjusted, happy kid, if they start to show symptoms of being, you know, really withdrawn, isolating themselves, you know, not having an interest in spending time with friends or family in real life, those are warning signs that you need to be aware of. You know, if they're spending a lot of time in their room, for example, not wanting to engage in things that they ordinarily would have liked to participate in, whether that's, you know, family gatherings or going out and playing sport, for example, things that they used to really like doing. Mm-hmm. Those are generally warning signs to look out for. But one thing I would definitely say to any parent is to try and make sure that you show that you understand in some way why kids are so interested in the online world. Trying to sort of bridge that communication gap and get that understanding is really important, and also for them to feel that they can come to you with a problem and that the response is going to be one that is helpful to them and not a response where a parent's going to have a bit of a knee-jerk reaction and sort of say, look, you're never going to be allowed on that game again, I'm taking your mobile phone away, you're not allowed social media. Those are, I suppose, barriers for kids when they go to parents in thinking that there's going to be some kind of punishment as a result of being honest and asking for help.
So would you say that the law is capable of keeping up with different forms of cybercrime in general?
Look, it's a really difficult thing. You know, technology, you know, changes and evolves so rapidly, and legislation, you know, by nature takes a while to keep up with it. There are certainly lawmakers out there that are trying their best. They're trying to make sure that kids are not caught up in legislation that wasn't designed for them. But it is a really, really difficult thing for legislation to keep up with technology. But I suppose, you know, as long as there's people out there trying to find, you know, more appropriate ways to deal with children, then that's a really good thing.
So what are some of the legal consequences for cyberbullying, for example?
Look, cyberbullying is against the law. There was a recent legislative change at the end of last year that now allows people to apply for provisional violence orders against people who are, you know, bullying them, harassing them, intimidating them online, which is a really good thing. Mm-hmm. So people can go to the police or they can go themselves if they have enough evidence to put forth at any local court registry. So that's really important. When it comes to young people, you know, we obviously know that the issue of sending nudes is still considered to be child pornography material. And there's a lot of work being done at the moment to try and make sure that kids are not caught up in, you know, those very serious offences and charges being laid for those sorts of you know, offences that occur. We know now as well at the same time that provisional violence order legislation came in, there was a change to the legislation around sending child exploitation material by children. Mm-hmm. And that is that if there is a consensual sharing now between two children of a similar age, the law now, you know, no longer needs to be involved or won't step in really unless it is, you know, there's extringent circumstances involved in it.
So,
but the important thing to remember there is that consent once it is, it's with, you know, it's an amendment,
Sure. And what is the actual age gap that needs to be there, or how far apart can they be?
That's a really good question. It's not really defined. They say a similar age. So, you know, the law will look at, you know, you can't have, say, for example, a 12-year-old and a 17-year-old sharing images like that because there would be an unbalanced power dynamic there. But if you say, for example, had a 14-year-old and a 15-year-old or a 15-year-old and a 16-year-old sharing those images, that's what it would consider to be a similar age. The law would also look at things like coercion, intellectual capacity of the people involved. There's a lot of other considerations that are taken into account to make sure that, you know, this has been a decision that's been, you know, mutually decided upon, or that consent has sort of been there with people who are able to give that freely.
Okay. And there are some parental control tools out there. How effective can they be?
Look, they can be very effective as long as you don't think that that's the only thing that you need to parent your kids in the online world. You know, we know that kids are very tech savvy, so nothing is foolproof, but I certainly would recommend having some kind of parental control tool to help you set the boundaries and set the access that they're able to, I suppose, to have when it comes to the online world. You know, we recommend one that's called Family Zone. One of the reasons that we like that is because it will go on any mobile device, anything that moves. So a parent's able to control not only what a child has access to, but how long they have access to it for. And so, you know, it allows parents to put boundaries on what they're actually accessing. It also gives things like reports back to the parents of areas that the kids might have been bounced from. And if a parent wants to, they can use that as an opportunity to open a conversation and ask questions around why a child, you know, was trying to access that particular website. So there's a lot of other benefits. You know, it's not just preventing them from accessing that information. It's opportunities to open up conversations with them as well.
Let's come back to SBS's series, The Hunting. Mm-hmm. As you may be aware of that, it's on now, a four-part series. What do you think of it, and how do you think it will have an effect on, let's say, kids in general, for them to see, and as a conversation starter, or as something that is happening more widely than we think?
Yeah, look, I've watched both of the first two episodes of The Hunting, and I actually think it's a really brilliant series. I think it's very current. you know, even the language that they are using. I think I was watching it last night, and one of the girls in it, you know, referred to gaslighting, which was fantastic. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's a really great opportunity for parents to sit down with, you know, their kids, their teenagers, and ask questions about, you know, what goes on in their day-to-day lives. Is this realistic? Is this something that you see? You know, in this situation, what would you do? And it really allows parents that opportunity to test the temperature on their own children's knowledge. You know, I think it's pretty current in terms of what is actually going on, what I see in schools, you know, fairly often. Things like, you know, sharing of these images without consent, posting it onto something like a WINS server, you know, where other people have access, you know, image-based abuse, discussions on mandatory reporting through the teachers. So I think it is a really, really good series for parents to sit down and watch and I suppose begin to understand how these situations occur and then how they get out of control as well.
Sure. Well, Yasmin London from YSafe, thank you so much for your time and all the insight you shared with us about cyber safety.
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.